You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. I am Josh and I am joined by my co-host Alex. We are here a week after our last episode talking about a lot. Undrafted free agents that the Giants signed, some tryouts that they went with, or some players trying out that they had at rookie minicamp. Also some contracts, the details there with some first round draft picks. James Bradbury signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. OTAs. And what we promised last episode, which we got to a little late here, but the schedule release was our last episode. We said we're going to do our worst case, best case, and predictions at this current moment for the New York Giants looking at the schedule. We promise will be accepted towards the end of this episode, as that is what we will close out the episode on. But yes, a lot to go into before that. And the first thing let's start out with is my co-host, Alex. How are you doing today? I know I just saw you about an hour ago at school, but I'm still going to pop the question anyway.
Yeah, so this is the earliest I think we've ever, well, besides like COVID times when we didn't actually go into school, but this is the earliest we've ever recorded an episode in terms of like right after school. So we got out early today, so it was nice. And we are here at 2 o'clock. It's crazy. 2 o'clock recording this. So it's pretty impressive. I know no one else actually cares, but for us, it's a pretty big deal. But I'm excited to get in some Giants stuff. OTAs are here. Not a big OTA guy, not like a, you know, someone who goes crazy over them. I'm more of a training camp guy, as most people are. And, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of it before the 7-week hiatus till training camp, where we're kind of have not that much to talk about, but we'll make the most of it anyway. But yeah, I'm excited. There's actually quite a bit going on, funny enough. And, you know, hopefully this team gets better throughout the offseason and we start seeing wins during the season, because as much as it's fun and jolly talking about the offseason, it's more fun to talk about wins, you know, and we haven't been able to experience many of them. So it's probably why it's so much fun. Maybe if we start winning more games, it'll just feel like the new normal. But I'm hoping we get to that point where winning feels like it's normal.
Yeah, I do too, Alex. And thank you for bringing that up, because that's a great reminder for me that I was going to say. Quick, like, disclaimer here, we are recording 2 o'clock on a Thursday, and this episode will be released Friday morning, so some info might be a little bit late, or some info might have not come out yet for us, and like,
with our luck, Daniel Jones is going to be cut tonight, and it's going to be a whole big thing or something, you know, like, it's just, it always happens.
Or tomorrow, because, you know, it's either after we record the same night, or the day of an episode release.
Yeah, always. So something big's going to happen tomorrow, so get ready.
Yeah, so letting you know about that now. Okay, so the Giants signed a lot of undrafted free agents, and we can start with that. I'll start reading off a list. And maybe if I get tired, I'll switch it to Alex and he can take it over. So let me start out here. For right now, tight end Austin Allen from Nebraska, defensive back Yusuf Corker from Kentucky, defensive tackle Jabril Ellis from South Carolina, defensive back Darren Evans from LSU, defensive back Zion Gilbert from Florida Atlantic, fullback halfback Jeremiah Hall from Oklahoma, defensive tackle Chris Hinton from Michigan, all signed with the New York Giants. Some other people that signed with the New York Giants, Alex.
Hinton, you were on, right? So we got Josh Rivas out of Kansas State. guard. We got Thompson, out of South Dakota State, defensive back. Antonio Valentino, he is a defensive tackle out of Florida. Jashawn Corbin out of Florida State, running back, and edge Toman Fox out of North Carolina. I'm going to give you two players I'm excited about out of that list in case anyone was interested. Toman Fox, edge out of North Carolina, had 9 sacks last season for anyone who's interested. So certainly good production there. I think he has a shot to make the team. And Yusuf Corker, who we've heard has actually been playing very well during OTAs, during rookie minicamp, etc. So excited to see what he can do. A guy who was projected to be drafted in the 5th to 7th round, and we got him undrafted. So excited to see what he can do as well. But those are two guys I'm looking forward to. Austin Allen out of Nebraska, the 6'8" tight end. Another, more of a long shot, but certainly someone to look out for come training camp. And then we'll talk kind of about a position of weakness. If you notice of those players we just read, quite a few were defensive backs. That's certainly an issue. James Bradberry was cut. We'll get to him in a second. The worst now. He's evil. Obviously with who he signed for, you know, spoiler alert there. But in terms of adding another veteran corner, not a rookie like some of these guys who came in undrafted and on tryouts, like we're about to read in a second, head coach Brian Daboll said, "We'll see," when asked about adding a veteran corner. And spoiler alert again, we do end up signing a couple of veteran corners. Some of the players that tried out during the Giants rookie minicamp, two of them signed. So we got defensive end Ryder Anderson out of Indiana, teammate of Micah McFadden, the linebacker we drafted in the 4th round, I want to say. Defensive back Jordan Mosley out of Maryland. Wide receiver Garrick Dieter out of Alabama, trying my best there. And O-lineman Kane Madden, no relation, I'm assuming, out of Notre Dame. And also Master Teague out of Ohio State. That's a really cool name, by the way. That's an awesome name. I want to be called that.
Yeah, I remember he backed up. What's his name at Ohio State? The running back, the starter.
Dobbins? His name,
but I remember watching the... What's up?
Dobbins? He was drafted a couple years ago now, though.
Maybe. I think so. So he was the backup to Dobbins there. Thank you, Alex. Also, good thing you didn't say Antonio Valentino as one of your favorites, because I would have corrected you right there. He's not on the team anymore. They signed Antonio Valentino as an undrafted free agent and quickly got rid of him to add another defensive back, Michael Jaquette.
Once a Giant, always a Giant.
Yeah. So that was a very quick hello and goodbye for Mr. Valentino. So he is currently not, on the team.
He didn't even get to have breakfast.
I guess not. I mean, it was 3 days maybe. So that's something that definitely went on there. What hasn't been 3 days in a New York Giants uniform is for the 2 first round picks at 5 and 7, Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. They signed their contracts, their rookie deals. Look like this. Thibodeau's is a 4-year deal. Same thing with Neal. His is up to $31.3 million guaranteed. And same thing with Neal. He has guaranteed money for 4 years of $24.6 million guaranteed. Something to note there, $6 million difference between picks 5 and 7, and also could have to do with the positions. One of them is basically an edge rusher, and then one of them is a offensive
I don't
tackle.
Think it's by positions. I think it's by pick. I'm almost 99% sure, but I was just thinking about this when you wrote down those numbers. I was like, imagine how Evan Neal seems like a calm, well-spoken, kind of calm guy. Doesn't seem like you get overly angry about that. But imagine if the Giants could have probably just as easily picked him number 5 and Thibodeau number 7, and he'd have $6 million more dollars in his pocket. So, or $7 million almost, actually. So imagine how that feels. I don't know. I'm sure he's excited and all, but isn't that kind of weird? I'd be a little bit pissed off, but I'm sure he's still happy and excited because he doesn't seem like the type of guy who would harp on that kind of thing.
Alex, if I was getting $24.6 million, there would not be anything but a smile on my face, whether the other guy above me got $7 million more or not. And then 6 total Giants draft picks got signed as well, or signed their contracts before, with the additions of Thibodeau and Neal, Micah McFadden, DJ Davidson, Marcus McKeithen, and Darian Beavers. Great name. Another group. We just got so many great names here so far on the podcast. Have signed their rookie deals. But they're still looking to sign a few more. We can talk about that when we get to some contract stuff in a little bit. Or I could just do it right now because I'm just that crazy. James Bradbury signs a one-year $10 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. And funny enough, the Giants are actually paying Bradbury more money than the Philadelphia Eagles are. The craziest part after all of that. And with that being said, though, because the Giants did, in fact, cut James Bradbury, that helps their cap. And on PFF's 2022 cap health rankings right now, the Giants are actually ranked fourth. So if you remember, before the draft, the Giants were ranked either dead last or very close to last in the NFL when it came to rankings by teams' caps and how they're really bad and good and whatever. The Giants were in the negatives at that point. And now they're the fourth best in this cap health ranking. So I guess give it all up to Joe Shane and assistant general manager Brendan Brown. And the Giants right now have approximately $6.5 million in cap space, but they still have to sign they still have to sign five of their 11 draft picks.
So you're probably looking at a few more million off that. Joe Judge had his first press conference, I believe, as like a Patriot, whatever he is, whatever his role is. I saw that on Twitter. I didn't watch it because...
Isn't he a special teams coordinator?
No, he's an offensive assistant, remember? He's going to be helping Mac Jones.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's, you know, calling all those QB sneaks. Anyway, certainly interesting there. But I didn't want to bring back any bad old memories, so I did not watch the press conference. You know, of course, if I did, I would be updating everyone on that, but I didn't. Giants OTAs, that's, you know, one of the main things that's been going on, lately. It began May 16th to 17th. It's happening today, the 19th, when we're recording this, 23rd, 24th, 26th of May, and then May 31st to June 3rd. Some of the highlights of that is during an 11-on-11 drill on this past Tuesday, Thibodeau was able to get his hands up, clogging a lane. The pass went off his fingertips and promptly landed in the waiting arms of safety Xavier McKinney. So a nice defensive play there. And guard Shane Lemieux practiced on Monday and participated in team drills. He was placed on injured reserve after suffering a knee injury in week one last season, but appears to be making progress towards being ready for the upcoming season. Also, the starting O-line, at least in these OTAs, has been Thomas, Lemieux, Feliciano, Glowinski, and Neal. So that's been the starting so far in OTAs. Obviously, a lot changes throughout the season and training camp, so we'll see what happens there. But it seems like it is Lemieux's job to lose, possibly, so we'll have to see what happens there. And then also Tony and Galladay are at OTAs, both wearing the red injury recovery shirts. So it seems like they're coming back from a little bit of a nick or a knack. That sounded weird. Anyway, Josh, I'm clearly running out of breath. My podcasting stamina is running out. This is what happens when you take... We used to record every... You know, felt like every day. Now things are starting to slow down. And my podcast stamina is like... like, I can't breathe.
I think Yusef Corker also... I forgot to write it down. Excuse me. I think he had a pick as well, which put him, you know, maybe above here on the safety list. I think the two guys that are locked in at the safety position when it comes to making the 53-man roster is probably McKinney and Julian Love.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's open.
Yeah, like
wide
for
open
sure.
For it can be three and maybe even four for the New York Giants. And there are some candidates there, so definitely keep that in mind. Also, like you said, Neal was part of the starting O-line, part of the starting first team, whatever you want to call it, defense, Kayvon Thibodeau was out there for the Giants. Not like he wasn't going to make the 53-man or be a starting player, but yeah, he was out there.
Another interesting thing is defensive back. He played corner last year, but Jaren Williams, he's converting back to his natural position as safety, at safety, for training camp. So that's another person to possibly see in that safety room. So a quick bit there. So you'll probably have Corker, Williams, Love, and McKinney competing for those spots. It could be possible that all four of those guys make the roster.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could definitely see it. It'll be an interesting, I guess, fight for the position. Dane Belton, Yusef Corker.
Oh, Dane Belton, probably. Of course. Forgot him, too. Yeah, so he'll be fighting
for that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely someone to note on. Another defensive back that the Giants signed here. Let's see if I get this name right. Cornerback Maurice Kennedy. Kennedy. Per source, some secondary help in wake of the James Bradbury departure. Basically...
I just realized we skipped like right through the James Bradbury departure. Can I please complain about him?
Sure.
Just real quick. I'm very upset about it. I'm not happy he went to the Eagles. I will be rooting against him in terms of how he plays. Not, you know, in life, as I've seen some Giants fans, like, come on, let's take it a little bit of a breath. Let's not hope for injuries or stuff like that. That's, you know, ridiculous. But in terms of his playing, I hope for the worst against the Giants. I hope he gets burnt every time by Kenny Golladay. That's all I want to say. I'm very upset about it. I'm very salty. And I just wanted to make that clear.
I would say the reason I kind of moved on from it super quickly was because it was expected from me. We knew from the moment he got cut, oh, Eagles are the front runners. Like, that's literally all we heard. So it didn't really surprise me. What sucks, though, is that, you know, the contract money he's getting and the Giants are paying him more. That's a frustrating part, honestly, after all of this, because, you know, we couldn't keep him around because of the cap situation. And then he goes on and he's fine with the cap he's getting now with the Eagles. And it just wasn't even that much. All right. Anyway. Stop. I'm just going to go with Maurice here because I don't know fully how to pronounce his last name, unfortunately. So I'm just going to say Maurice has had experience playing the boundary in Wink Martindale's defense with the Ravens. He's 6'1", 190 pounds. He's good length, and he was also with the Cowboys last year and the Jets in 2019. That was from Art Stapleton. In 40 career games, he's had four starts. Recovered 86 tackles, or recovered, recorded 86 tackles. He had 70 solo tackles and three for a loss, three QB hits, six passes defended, and one interception. Recorded a 64.8 PFF grade in 2021, but then appeared in just eight games, and that was due to concussion issues. And the Giants know concussion issues very well from their wide receivers. So something to note on there. I don't know, completely irrelevant to what we're talking about here. But another cornerback that the Giants signed, I'm just taking this one, Alex, and rolling with it. Khalil Dorsey, the 24-year-old, signed with the Ravens as an undrafted rookie free agent. So maybe another person connected with Wink Martindale there. He's out of Northern Arizona following the 2020 NFL draft. Appeared in six NFL games, but didn't start a single one. Recorded solo tackles and surrendered surrendered one pass on one target for 36 yards. Honestly, I think this guy is just another body for training camp or for OTAs. There's no reason why he would get signed by the team, put on their roster. The only reason I would see him here is to fill a spot right now. And if he does well, get a spot on the practice squad heading into the season. But besides that, I think it'll be an easy cut for the Giants. Unfortunately for Dorsey, nothing against him. Just doesn't really have much experience to help the team.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think either of them, maybe the first one will make the roster more. I forget his name at this point. sorry about that.
Maurice Kennedy.
Maurice Kennedy, yes.
I just called him Maurice.
Maurice. Yeah, so I think Maurice has a chance, but probably not. Oh my God, I'm forgetting his name already now. this is tough. Anyway, some more.
Who are you talking about now? The other player?
The other corner, yeah. You just mentioned his name.
I don't remember Maurice Kennedy, but
Yeah, you just said his name. Khalil Dorsey. There it is. Khalil Dorsey. So I don't think he's going to make the roster. The Giants also signed defensive end Jalen Holmes and safety Henry Black. So a couple more bodies as well. And in order to create all this space, the Giants had to trim down a bit and terminate a couple of contracts. So linebacker Trent Harris was waived. Defensive end Raymond Johnson was waived. Quarterback Brian Lewerke was waived. I thought he was in the what's the other football league that's going in the UFL or
USFL.
USFL. Yeah, I thought he was playing in that, but maybe I was wrong.
Other Giant backups are, but no, yeah, I don't know about him specifically.
Maybe not him. And also waived slash injured defensive back Jordan Mosley. So those are the guys who have made way for these new.
Well, you realize. So go ahead.
For these newcomers.
He could still be on NFL rosters as well as these other players.
True. He could be both.
Because
he's
playing during the spring. It's not that big of a deal, but now he isn't. So you might be right. I mean, look it up about Lewerke. Just one more thing before we go to our schedule stuff is I just want to give a quick shout out because they've helped us out a lot. A big milestone this week for our friends at Talking Giants, Bobby and Justin, got to complete an interview in a van with offensive tackle Andrew Thomas. So a little clap of congratulations to them.
Yay. And, it was an awesome interview. Very cool.
So really good stuff for them. I know they were saying in the interview, like this is, or like in the episode, this is like big stuff for us. You know, there's some times where it's like we made it type thing.
And also I saw Sam Prince had him on too. So that was pretty cool as well.
They had on Sam Prince.
No, Sam Prince had on Andrew Thomas on his podcast.
He has a podcast?
Yes, he does. That. Yeah. So that was a cool interview. They kind of talked some similar topics, but it was more, so there were some food related topics as well. So if you're interested in what Andrew Thomas likes to eat, then go check that out for sure. But yeah, it was cool that Andrew Thomas actually came on to a couple of the Giants podcasts. It was refreshing to see.
So with that being said, let's move to the 2022 Giants schedule. And I think we'll go in the way of this. Let's do worst case first. We're going to get out of the way. Best case second, and then end with our prediction. And how we're going to do it is we'll go through each game, but worst case, best case, we're going to go through very, very quickly. We're going to try to knock it out. And then prediction, maybe we go a little faster, but honestly, you're going to hear the games three times. So you're probably just going to want us to go quick through those as well. Okay. Who's keeping the note of this?
Here, I'll read through them. You keep note as we're talking about them.
Yeah, so I'll just say yes or no, and we'll both agree.
I think sharing this. Titans, so we're doing best case scenario first.
Worst case scenario.
Oh, worst case scenario.
Get it out of the way. Get the bad mojo out of the way.
Worst case scenario, week one, we lose to the Titans. Week two, we lose to the Panthers. Week three, we lose to the Cowboys. Week four, we lose to the Bears. Week five, we lose to the Packers. Week six, we lose to the Ravens. So we're 0-6 right now.
Correct.
I think we beat the Jaguars anyway. So I think that week seven, we beat them. Week eight, I think we lose to the Seahawks. Week nine.
Whoa. Oh my God. Jeez. You're moving very quickly.
You said to move quickly.
We did. You're doing a great job. Sorry. They don't have Russell Wilson anymore, Alex.
This is true. Lock.
Don't have Tyler Lockett anymore, right?
No, they do. Him and Metcalf are still there.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Tyler Lockett's still there.
I'm double checking
that. All right. And they have Geno Smith.
Oh, no. You're right.
Giants legend.
You're right. It was, I forget the wide receiver on the Broncos is like, I want to be the new future Tyler Lockett to Russell Wilson.
I don't know who that is.
Receiver it was. All right, so we're at 1-6 right now. So we're saying 1-7 if they lose to the
Seahawks. Yeah, 1-7.
You really think they'll lose?
This is worst case scenario.
All right, sorry. Right. Okay, go.
Texans, I think we win that anyway.
2-7.
Lions, I think we win that anyway.
3-7.
That's week 11. Week 12.
That makes sense, right? We're 3-7 in week 11 because we had the bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm right.
Week 12, for the Cowboys. I think we lose that game. Worst case scenario.
Sure.
I think we get swept by everyone in the division. Everyone in the division going forward, like in all three teams in the worst case scenario. So we lose twice to the Cowboys in week 12 and in week 3. We lose twice to the Commanders in week 13 and 15. We lose twice to the Eagles in week 14 and 18. And then week 16 and 17, we lose to the Vikings and Colts, respectively.
Okay, so then we end with a record of 3-14?
14, yeah. So that would be our worst case scenario of what would happen.
Do you want to switch now and then I run through the best and you take the tally?
Yeah, you do best case. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right, week one against Tennessee Titans away. I know it's best case. I still think it's a loss. The Tennessee Titans are a very good football team. So we start at 0-1 on the season. Then we go home against the Panthers. Winnable game, definitely. So obviously, this is how it works. Best case, if it's winnable, we take the win. Cowboys at home. They're a very good team. I think we made some new adjustments. If it's best case, I think we win this game because we're home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're agreeing.
Yeah, good. I agree.
Week four against the Bears, then we can win.
Mm-hmm.
We're in London. I know it's Aaron Rodgers. I know he's got no Adams. We still lose. I know it's best case. Then we drop also, even though we're at home against the Ravens. They're still a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars, easy W. Seahawks, W.
Mm-hmm.
Texans down on Deshaun Watson, W. Lions, another win.
So this puts us Cowboys 7-3 right here, right now.
Yeah. So, but remember, it's best case. So
and second Cowboys half of the away. Season's harder. Yeah. Yeah. Cowboys away.
I think we lose. Drop one of them. Yeah. Commanders at home, we win.
Okay.
And you let me know if I'm going too fast.
Okay. Yeah, you're good.
All right. Eagles at home, we win.
Uh-huh.
Get revenge on James Bradbury. Week 15 against the Commanders. We're away. I think we still win. Commanders just have not, are not. I mean, they have weapons. Don't get me wrong. They're still just as bad as us, honestly.
Yeah.
Vikings away. They are a good team. Are they good enough to beat us in a best case scenario? I don't think so. I think we give it to the Giants.
I disagree. Because they made some additions on defense. They have a new coach. They have the Rams offensive coordinator. I think that's a tough one, in my opinion.
We can give them a loss.
All right,
but then you're also going to give them a loss to the Colts, too?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, right? But we're home. But yeah, okay.
10-6. Beat the Eagles. You think we beat the Eagles again?
Yeah. It's best case, Alex.
All right, so 11-6 is our best case scenario.
So worst case scenario, 3-14. Best case scenario, 11-6. Now let's do our predictions. Alex, you want to...
Yeah, we'll go through each game and kind of explain.
Split by week.
Yeah, we'll just go every other week. So week one,
you go.
Yes, I am going. Week one, Titans away, Derrick Henry, Tannehill. I know they don't have AJ Brown anymore. Their defense is still pretty solid. Decent offensive line. Derrick Henry. I mean, that's really all I need to say. I don't think we win that game. It's going to be tough. So in terms of our prediction here, we're going to go with a loss against the Titans.
I feel like we always have high expectations going into a Giants season, especially the last 2 or 3 years, right? And then they always start off slow.
They pick
it up a little bit. Always slow, though. So with that being said, I know it's an easy, quote-unquote, opponent against the Panthers in our home opener. But let's be honest. We're doing honest predictions here. They get a loss against the Carolina Panthers. It just happens. Like, they start off 0-2 with the laughingstock of New York once again. Oh, Joe Shane, you brought in a new coach, Brian Daboll. It's not working. So that's week two loss.
Yep, fans will be calling for his head already in week two. Week three, prime time, Monday Night Football. The Giants lose to the Cowboys in week three. So we start 0-3. This is our prediction here. You know, the Cowboys have gotten worse, but I don't think they're worse enough to, or have gotten worse enough that they can't beat us anymore. And I think they'll still beat us on prime time. You got week four. I'm like... messed up there. There you go.
Yeah, I got week four. You're right. Bears, Chicago. Yes. Home game, though. Like, I'm wrong. We're in New York. New Jersey. Sorry. I'm all over the place.
They right got now. No wide receivers.
Gonna get our first win against the Chicago Bears. That's about it. I mean, also, like...
Justin Fields.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, who's the worst quarterback situation there? Is it the Bears or the Giants? Because I swear, you could throw up a jump ball, and I don't think Jones or
Fields.
Or Fields will catch it. Sorry.
Yeah. So I think the Bears are a winnable game. Their offensive line's bad. They don't have like a crazy running back. Their defense has gotten worse. I think that is a game we can win, hopefully. Week five, Packers, London, Aaron Rodgers. That's really all I need to say. That's gonna be a loss. So we're gonna start 1-4, I believe that is. Yeah. 1-4.
Yeah, and just to speed things up. Ravens, another one. We're home. Lamar Jackson's unstoppable. I don't think this defense can handle him. So with that being said, no Marquise Brown. Keep in mind there, no speedster for him to throw to. Although
J.K. Dobbins is back this season.
But yeah, and it's just Lamar Jackson. I mean, what else do you have to say?
Good defense as well.
Their defense is good too. I was about to say that. But we have Wink Martindale. He'll give us all the tips and tricks, the secrets to breaking their defense down.
Yeah, I think that's a sleeper game we could possibly win, but I don't think so. Week seven, Jaguars, they're just a mess. You know, they picked Trayvon Walker number one overall. I think their pass rush is going to be much improved, but I still have the Giants taking the win here. I'm very interested to see how Trevor Lawrence does in his second season, though. So that'll be an interesting game for sure. But I think we come away with the victory, making us 2-5 going into week eight.
Also, remember the last 2 years, we were kind of a little bit spoiled because when we looked at other teams' wide receivers, number one wide receivers, we were like, all right, well, Bradbury can shut them down. We don't have Bradbury anymore. So just take that into consideration because I feel like I was like not as nervous because we had Bradbury on their top guys.
Yeah. So I mean, the Jaguars don't really have, they have Christian Kirk.
Oh, I wasn't talking about the Jaguars.
Seahawks, though.
Yeah, I was just thinking back to the Ravens. They have no wide receivers, so that should be okay. But anyway, yeah, Seahawks now week eight away.
Tough place to play.
Yeah, it's all about the fans there. I mean,
Geno Smith.
If I fully agree with this one. You said Geno Smith like five times. Still doesn't make a difference in my head. It's a loss for the New York Giants, though.
Yeah, DK Metcalf.
I don't really fully agree with this, but I'll just
they brought in Charles Cross. They improved their defense.
Yeah, they had a great draft. Yeah,
they had a good draft. So I think they're going to be okay. I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they'll be okay. And I think we're bad. So that's basically my output on that. Week 9, we have the bye, obviously. So week 10, we are at home against the Texans. The Texans are awful. I think we beat them, hopefully. If we don't, we're in a really sad state. And that, I think, is a win. I don't think I really need to explain anything. Who'd they get in the draft? They picked up... they got Derek Stingley, right? Still not worried.
I mean, if you remember, Alex, so going back, like you said, Cross, they also got Kenneth Walker, and then they swooped up Edgeboye Mafe.
Yeah, so they had a good draft. They had a very good draft, yeah.
They also had the reason, I mean, not like a great player, but we knew him from Rutgers because he played locally.
Yeah, Bo Melton, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I think they'll be solid. They always draft well, usually, sometimes. So,
yeah. Week 11, the Detroit Lions at home, not a good team. That's a W for us. Jared Goff not leading them to the promised land like he did leaving the Rams to the Super Bowl, but was it really him or was it McVay? I think you can tell right now where he is.
Yeah, I think they'll be better this year, but yeah, I agree. I think we beat them. The Cowboys away, Jerry's world. We just never win. The games are rigged. He pays off the refs. There's just no chance. There's no chance. It's a loss for the Giants. Oh, God.
It's a weird way to put it out there.
Well, what's your reasoning? What's your reasoning?
They just have a really good team. Again, I mean, I know it just didn't work for them last year, but... Remember last year, we were really scared about what the Cowboys
had. But they got worse this year, though.
True.
Yeah. No Amari Cooper.
Still doesn't matter. They're better than us.
True. They are, but so is everyone.
At home. A win for the New York Giants. That's it.
Yay. I feel like we always pull out a win against the Commanders, so.
They don't have a quarterback.
They have Carson Wentz. Don't disrespect Carson Wentz.
Oh, my.
Anyway, to a team that does disrespect Carson Wentz now, the Philadelphia Eagles at home, week 14. I think they're going to be a much improved team as well, and they're going to be a very tough team to beat, even at MetLife. I think we take the L there, moving into week 15. It's a tough end to the schedule, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, continuing that with the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts were, I would like to say, red hot last year, kind of like the... Not the comeback story, but like the underdog.
Why are you going to Colts? That's week 17.
I'm not up. That
no, it's week 15. Yeah, but we play them twice.
The other Commanders matchup?
Okay, the other Commanders matchup.
All right, I got Commanders part two. Oh, well, I got the Colts as well. But Commanders part two here away. For some reason, you said we always pull it out against Commanders, but here we do have an L because we'll split.
We didn't pull it out last year against the Commanders or the football team or whatever they were called last year.
Two years ago, I believe we got both of them, though.
Right. Yeah, 2 years ago we did. Week 16, we got the Vikings away. That's a tough team. Kirk Cousins, solid. Jay Jetta. Oh, my God. I'm not going to say that again. Justin Jefferson is obviously very good. Dalvin Cook, they've improved defensively as well. So I think that's a tough one away from MetLife as well. So another loss for the Giants. Another tough one.
Okay, now the Indianapolis Colts at home, the team that was basically like the underdogs last season. Everyone was kind of rooting for them to win. They don't have Carson Wentz anymore. They just have another interesting choice at quarterback, and that is Matt Ryan.
How is that interesting? He's a solid quarterback.
It's interesting in the way that they go from Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan's
at the end of his career. He's at the end of his career.
True, but he's still better.
At the end of his career, he's slowing down. All right, loss for the Giants no matter what because they have a very, very good defensive line. And that's not the Giants. That's the Indianapolis Colts. And they will get pressure on Daniel Jones because our offensive line is better than they were, but they're still not perfect.
Agreed. And it's going to take time for them to gel, right? So that's always going to be the thing as well. week 18 away at the Eagles, at the Link, as people like to say. That sounds weird to me, so I'm just going to say at the Eagles. In Philly.
Lincoln Financial Field.
I know, the Link just sounds weird. Anyway, week 18, I think we lose. I just don't see us winning against the Eagles this year. I think they're a bit too good for us. I think they're going to be have higher priorities than beating us. I think they're going to make a reasonable playoff push. I don't think they're going to win at all, but I think they have a solid team. I think Jalen Hurts is going to hold them back, though.
All right, so with that, that's our final schedule. The prediction comes out to 5-12 for the New York Giants. Kind of same old as always. Let's hope they prove us wrong. I like to say it every year, but let's hope they do so. But let me get some
in stuff in the up direction, not in the 3-14 direction.
Correct. I mean, it's great to have picks 5-7, but if we're not going to do better the next year, then don't keep giving me picks 5-7, please. All right, so let me get some stuff in here. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening or watching. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button there. If you're listening, hit it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you do listen to the podcast. You can write us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And then you could follow us on Instagram and Facebook, The Giant Take Podcast, Twitter and TikTok, The Giant Take Pod. Alex on Twitter at Anorian23. And I'm on Twitter at JoshSolo29. You can also find out more places to listen on shipstudios.com/TheGiantTake. To find out basically most of the information, if not all that I just said, go into the podcast notes or description of this episode and you can find it there. With that, Alex, close us out.
Thank you everyone for listening to today's episode, and we'll see everyone next time with some more Giants content. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.